Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
Okay, I guess you noticed an unusual title this morning. How many of you remember the Timex commercials? I'm going to quote it. Timex takes a licking and keeps on ticking. The idea was no matter what you did to a Timex watch, it would keep on working. And that became a very successful matter of fact. I did some reading on it, and they're actually bringing back a lot of these old slogans are coming back from all kinds of different products that did very well 20, I guess, years ago or more. Faith is like that. It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And we're going to look at that today. There are times when things get hard on us. But we just dig in and keep trusting in God to lead us. One lesson we must learn is even though our faith is shaken at times, or even our faith is disrupted, we must understand that behind it all, God is at work. So what is the foundation of faith? And how do we increase our trust in God? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. One of the answers to our question is that we must add something to our faith. No matter how good, now think about this, no matter how good a Timex watch is, it's not any good without its batteries. And we're going to look at that today. Batteries. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, which is your text you have there. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. Verse 1, Peter here talking, was writing to those who had obtained like faith. Though he's talking to Christians. Number two, in verse 2, grace and peace is multiplied as we know God. So that's an interesting thing now. The more you know of the Lord, the greater your faith and peace becomes. Verse 3, God's power is given to everything we need to maintain a life. In other words, it's available to us so we can have victory in our lives and no matter what we have to go through. And then in verse 4, it says he has given to us some great and precious promises to help us partake of his nature and to help overcome worldly lust and worldly problems that we run into. Now, jump to verse 5, which is not in the written there. You have to have it in the Bible. Look in the Bible. In verse 5, now, it says, because of these things, God tells us now in verse 5 what to do. He says, and besides this, now this is verses 1 through 4, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now, faith here starts a parade. And faith leads the band, if you would say, and love brings up the rear. And we're going to look at that this morning. Faith without certain spiritual batteries is dead. And we're going to look at these spiritual batteries this morning. God gives us a list of things that make up the batteries and tells us, now here, I like this. He says, give all diligence. Just like the Timex watch, in order for them to take a licking and keep on ticking, they have to have batteries. And I want you to also notice that one more thing here. God says, in giving all diligence. Diligence means, here's what the meaning is in the Greek. Eagerness. Striving after with haste. So this isn't something you just get up and if you have time, go after. This is something you're going to break down the wall. You're going to do whatever it takes to get to this. That's what the word means by all diligence. Now, here's the first one. We're going to look at each battery that's given to us to add to our faith. Now, I could spend every Sunday on just one of these, but what I'm going to do is just go over them briefly. First one is virtue. By the way, as I try to teach you in the past, nothing is put in an order by accident. So the fact that it starts with faith, add to your faith, virtue is number one. There's a reason virtue is first. And each one is second. You can't accomplish the second one without the first one. And you're going to see that as you take time and study it. Virtue means moral excellence. Another way of putting it is, it's character. A person's character. So what is character? Here's character. Character is the reality of who you really are and what you really do. And I think that's interesting because people can say to me, Glenn, I want to help. But they never come and help. But they always tell me they want to help. Then you have other people that don't ask if they want to help and they come in and just start helping. That's the difference in character. Character is what a person actually does, not what they say. I'm going to give you two different quotes here that are interesting. Here's one. Oh, quote, your ideal is what you wish you were. Your reputation is what people say you are. Your character is what you really are. Think about that. And now remember now, God has put this number one first to increase your faith, to be the foundation of your faith. Second quote, if you sow a thought, we reap an act. If you sow an act, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap character. And if you sow character, you reap destiny. I tell you what, some old quotes, but they really hit the spot. So now we go to number two, knowledge. Here's something worth noting. Now, think about this. Character has got to be in place before you get knowledge. Think about how this order runs. It's really interesting. Character, in a sense, is the spiritual side of us as well. You can look at it as the spiritual side. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says this, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, to clarify what that's saying, you kind of know, but this puts it kind of vague. We did not know we sinned until the Old Testament, when God brought the law into existence to find out all the time we've been sinning. We just didn't know it. Why? Because we didn't have the law. I always use the term... I'll give you a good example. It just hit me. I was going to tell you about the speed limit and all, but I got a better one. You all know where I live, and you know I got that four-way stop sign. Well, before the four-way stop sign, it was just a regular Piedmont Park had the stop sign. And then you stop, but you didn't have it on East Mountain Creek Road where I live. You just, rode on through. Well, we did that for years. Then all of a sudden, they came in and put a four-way stop. Now, everybody's got to stop. But guess what happened for the longest time? And I know this for a fact because I'm the one who almost got hit a couple times. I would watch people coming down. And for years, they didn't pay attention. They didn't look at the thing printed on the road anymore. They were busy talking to each other or whatever. And they went right through that stop sign. They didn't even slow down. Why? Because there was never a stop sign there. They didn't know that that was breaking the law until the law was finally... Somebody beeped their horn like they almost hit me. And I even talked to DMV about it the state thing and try to get him to change it. And he says, well, we can't change it because of liability. I said, what do you mean, liability? He said, what problem's going to happen? I said, sir, there's as many accidents there as there has been before you put it there. He says, no, I got the statistics right here. And he quoted to me. And it was a little under. It was about 75%, 25% under. And I said, now tell me the truth. I said, that's the ones that were reported. What about the ones that weren't reported? He said, you got a good point there. So I said, technically, you haven't improved anything. So I said, get rid of the four-way stop sign. We can't do that. So anyhow, I did my arguing with the state. I couldn't get it changed. But the key is, something got changed there. Now people are aware, and you got very few people going through. But that's what the law was. The law brought sin into our knowledge. Now we know we're sinning. Now, that doesn't make the law bad. The law actually was good. And so this doesn't... So what God's telling us here is that knowledge without character doesn't impress him. Now think about this. The devil knows every word in the Bible by heart. Didn't do him a bit of good. I was reading more about the temptation of Christ. He offered the world to Christ. I don't know if you realize that. He offered all the kingdoms, and it was within his power to offer it. He says, I'll turn it all over to you. I will not tempt them anymore. It'll be yours. All you got to do is admit who I am and worship me. He says, I can't do that. Sorry. He was really after. Satan is blinded, and I got that pride in his heart, and that's why he fell, because he wanted to be like God. And we got to be careful with things like that. So knowledge by itself doesn't do us a bit of good. So we have to have that character first. Then we have to have knowledge. Now, at the same time, God tells us in Hosea, which I didn't put this down for you to look up. Hosea, you can write it down if you want, Hosea 4:6. But it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, if you don't know that you're sinning because you haven't read something, then you don't know you're actually sinning. There's things you got to learn. You got to learn how, like today, you're learning how to add a foundation to your faith. That's what the purpose is today. So you can keep on ticking while you're being being torn down. If you want to keep on ticking for God, you must add knowledge to your faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's the scripture that tells us that. Next one, temperance. Temperance means self-control. Now think again this. Without knowledge, you're not going to learn self-control. Now people say, here's a common thing. I just can't control myself. How many times has a person said that? Here's another one. Whatever. That's another one. When do we swallow these lies? Listen to what Galatians says, 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit... Now, this is the fruit of the Spirit. We all have the Spirit if you know Christ is your Savior. It dwells within you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And here's the biggie, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. We have this. The next time you're tempted to lose control, rather than just say, I can't control myself, remember that through God, you have the power to walk in self-control. You already have it within you. You just got to access it and use it. And every one of us have control. We can do it. It's our choice whether we do or don't. But we have it. So the temperance is another one. Next one is patience, which means perseverance. You already know how much I'm in love with that word. When I think that God had to use Outlaw Josie Whale movie, that Indian, to bring the full meaning to me. But it did. I'll never forget that section where that Indian talks about perseverance. And it opened my eyes to me. I've heard the word before, but now I just think the word, just pronouncing the word is a beautiful word. And it means so much to me, personally. Since we, as Christians, have faith, we need to persevere. It is our faith and trust in God that helps us to endure under trials. Now, I'm going to give you a theologian example. His name is Charlie Brown. Listen to this now. Charlie Brown is at bat. Strike three. He has struck out again. Slumps over to the bench. Rats. I've never be a big league player. I just don't have it. All my life I've dreamed of playing in the big leagues. But I know I'll never make it. Lucy turns to counsel him. Charlie Brown, you're thinking too far ahead. What you need to do is set yourself more immediate goals. He looks up. Immediate goals? Lucy says, yes. Start with the next inning. When you go out to the pitch, see if you can walk out to the mound without falling. The point of the story is, and my biggest thing, the moment I read this, the first thing popped into me, I think I've told you this before, but it was a big lesson in my life, is the first 2 weeks when I went to college. And they went to orientation class, and they handed out, my first class, they handed out a piece of paper. It had every test, every quiz, every paper that had to be accomplished that whole semester. I looked at that paper, and I went, there ain't no way I'll be able to do that. That's just too much to do. And then an evil thought hit me. I got five more classes to get paper. I couldn't do the one, and I was going to do a whole six papers. I'll be six different classes. And they said more people leave college all through the United States the first 2 weeks of college because of what they see on those papers. Because they're looking too far in advance and not looking what's right in front of them. And the teacher said to us, look at what's due today and worry about today. Don't worry about next week and the week after. Now, there's nothing wrong with having goals and looking for the future and setting goals. But you achieve the goal by taking that first step today. And you worry about today. Guess what? I got everything done. It required a lot of work, but I got it all done. And if stupid me can make it, anybody can make it in college. So that's the point of the story. Do what's next. Hang in there and don't worry about all that is to come. And the same thing with our spiritual batteries. And you look at all these things. Start with character. Work on character. And when you got the character pretty well down, then go to knowledge. Get the knowledge down. Start learning knowledge. Take it a step at a time. If you're going to look at all these and say, man, how am I ever going to get all this done? Well, you're not if you're going to look at it at the whole base. You're just not going to achieve it. Patience. Persevere. God's grace is sufficient for all of us if we take the time. Next one is godliness. Godliness is a spiritual reverence and respect to God in all matters. And I'm afraid most of us fall short in this category. We must never forget that He is holy God. He is a holy God. Can you imagine Christ doing the rock and roll dance or the Watusi or something? I just don't see that type of person in the New Testament when I read it. What I read is 1 Peter 1:16 when he says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, Christ had a good time. He had fellowship. He walked around. But he was holy. And when I thought about Moses, when he first saw that fire burn, bush burn, and he walked up to see what it was about. And the next thing you know, God speaks to him and says, take off your sandals because you're on holy ground. And Moses falls down on his face and talks to God and shows respect and all because he's before the very God. Holy means this in this Greek. Set apart, consecrated, dedicated, pure, and saints. The word Christian means Christ-like. We're to live the same way Christ lived. Doesn't mean we're going to have a dull life. But obviously, how we talk, how we act, what we look like, everything projects who we are. And people are always going to see the bad things we do more than they're going to see the good things we do. And that's just the way of life. Act with a pure heart. And then in Leviticus, here's God speaking instead of Christ. Christ was speaking the first time. God's speaking here in Leviticus. It says, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And this is not old-fashioned, but it's a command from God. And by the way, this is not a suggestion. And if you look at it and you do some serious studying in this, it's a command for a Christian to do. It's not an option. It's a command. Think about that. Now, with all these things coming in a row, guess where it leads us to? Brotherly kindness. There's another problem we a lot of us have sometimes. Because all the above, we come to brotherly kindness, exercise brotherly kindness to each other. I've had to counsel people in the past years, many years. Even I'll never forget the first lesson I got is when I had my garage. I had, I always got to think of how many it was. I had 7 people working for me full time. I had 2 people working for me that hated each other. First, I forget what the reason was. I didn't know what to do, but I knew it couldn't keep going on. It was just a constant battle there. So I talked to one, and they told me what their problem was. I talked to the other one, and then I realized they don't know what each other's thinking. So I made them both come in the office. I sat them down and said, okay, you're going to speak first. Keep your mouth shut. Told the other guy. He spoke and gave his thought. Then I told him, now I don't want you to open your mouth. I let him speak. So he spoke, and guess what? They both were thinking wrong. And when they realized what each other was thinking, they shook hands and walked out best of friends. It wasn't anything I did magical. I just realized then that a lot of times people are thinking, he did this to me, or he doesn't like me, or whatever. When all the time, that's not what the other guy's thinking at all. And I can't tell you how many more times in the past that I've done this with other Christians. And 99.9% of the time, I never had to do anything but just get each one to speak without being interrupted by the other. Once they both understood how they figured their own problem out. I mean, it was really quick, too. I didn't know you thought we're thinking that. I thought you were thinking this. And see, we build this fire up. Next thing you know, we hit our brothers or sisters in Christ or anybody. We got to be careful not to judge somebody other than that are inconsistent with the Christian life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, which to us would be in all our life. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more on this subject. Last but not least, charity. Now, in your Bible, it may use the word love, which is what it should be actually be translated, love. So anytime you read the word charity in the Bible, it's actually love. So this is the highest form of love, by the way. There's 3 types of love. The highest form is agape love, and this is the one it's talking about here. Agape love is the love that God loves us, how they love us. Love that requires nothing. Now, this is important because too many people today say, I love you, I love you. You love your wife, you love your husband, or whatever. And you don't know what the word means. You don't know what you're saying. You don't really love. What do you mean you love? You love, I love you if, I love you when. That is not unconditional love. Remember, for better, for worse, for richer and poorer. See, my wife got the poor for the worst. She got all the bad stuff when we got married. I got all the good stuff. How often are we supposed to forgive? It says 70 times 70, which actually means all the time. Here's the question I start asking people now when I have to counsel with somebody with this. How often does God forgive us? Every time we make a mistake. How often does he bring back what you did and bring it back towards you and say, look, you did it again? Never. He has unconditional agape love. And he's telling us that's what we have for everybody else. Which means every time someone does you wrong, you forgive them. It's that simple. It just made me think of I forget the name of the Christmas movie. Patty Duke played an angel in it. Can't think of the name of the movie. But she pretended this guy came in. There was a cop, and he was aggravated because this woman lied to him. And she took the place of the bartender magically. And he's not even a drinker. He has this drink and he doesn't even drink it. He just went in there because he was depressed. And she says something to him. Why don't you just forgive? Oh, I can't forgive. You know how hard it is to forgive? And she says, no, it's not hard. It's just simply you do it. And the next thing you know, she's gone. And by the end of the movie, he does forgive the girl and they end up getting married. The problem is the moment you say, I will love you if or when or if something comes up, and all of a sudden now you don't love anymore. Unconditional love. That's the type of love we're supposed to have for other people. And we must add it to our faith. 1 Corinthians 13:1 brings it out. Paul says this perfect by the inspiration of God. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, he's referring to making a bunch of noise, but not a tune. Okay? And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains and say to one mountain, to go from here and go over there, but do not have love, I am nothing. That's how important it is to have this agape love in a Christian life. If you do not have love, you have nothing. God makes this pretty clear. Now, I've given you 7 spiritual batteries that you can add to your faith. Don't try to do every one at one time. Maybe some of you have a handle on some of these. But you need to go over each one and help yourself grow. And I will tell you this. The more you get a hold on these things, the more God's going to bless and come back at you. 7 things that make up spiritual batteries that help us take a licking and keep on ticking. I want to leave you with a quote in closing here by Jerry Fargo. Here's what he says. Character without faith is cheap veneer. You know what veneer is. The veneer is the top of that table, like, right? Yeah, okay. Cheap veneer comes off quick. Sometimes on wet, like our cabinets in the kitchen, they get wet, they start coming apart when they collect moisture. And all because it's a cheap cabinet. Knowledge without faith is useless information. Why? Think about Satan. Doesn't do him a bit of good. Self-control without faith is straining unnecessary. Perseverance without faith is empty at the end. Godliness, I love this one, without faith is mere religion. And listen, we got lots of religion out there today. People dying going to hell to go to church every Sunday. Brotherly kindness without faith is self-serving. And that's what it takes. A person that is worried more about themselves than the other person is never going to have brotherly kindness. Love without faith is not true love. I say that because I've heard people, somebody we know, that told me how much he loved this girl and how much the girl said he loved them and all, and the end result is they don't even see each other anymore. And eventually he married another woman. And all. And I'll never forget being in the room when they were talking about that love. And I thought, what happened to that love? Well, they didn't really love. They're using that word loosely. We're always going to take a licking in our life. The key is to be prepared for it. And if we have the faith to trust in God, and we have a foundation, which is these 7 spiritual batteries we talked about this morning, you can really get a lot closer to the Lord. And when you get a licking, you'll be able to go through it. And my favorite verse for me, my I guess you could say one of my life verses is, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He will be with me. Thou shalt be with me. And it just, I love that because it tells me at the worst point in my life, and God is right there. And you've heard the other one, the footsteps in the sand, I think is the name of it, or something, where when you're walking at the beach and you turn around and you see your set and another set, which is Christ right being right beside you. We got to remember that. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.